President Obama has officially signed the financial overhaul legislation into law. So what does that mean for individual investors? Art Stein is a certified financial planner with SPC Financial in Rockville, Maryland, and he joins us with his take. Good morning, Arthur. Great to have you on.
Hi, Tom and Amy.
Okay, so what does this financial overhaul legislation mean to individual investors?
Well, as far as individuals are concerned, you know, there's what happens now and what may happen later. And by later, I mean it establishes new agency. There's a requirement that a lot of decisions be made and implemented. But what definitely happens now in terms of relative importance is, one, it makes permanent the $250,000 ceiling on FDIC insurance for bank deposits. This was temporarily increased from $100,000 to $250,000. That's now permanent. Makes a lot of changes in mortgage loans that will, I think, really protect borrowers quite a bit. Requires lenders to determine borrowers' ability to repay a loan, so there's no more no-income verification loans. Mortgage brokers no longer allowed to earn bonuses on the type of loan you choose, so it takes away their incentive to put you in certain types of mortgages because it benefits them. Requires originators of mortgage loans to disclose conflicts of interest, and it prohibits a lender from refinancing a mortgage unless a new mortgage definitely offers a benefit to the borrower. And there are no more prepayment penalties, and if you're rejected for a loan, you can see a copy of your credit score. So these are all good things. With credit cards, merchants are now allowed to give a discount for cash. And one important thing that they did not do is we were hoping they would require a fiduciary standard for brokers and insurance agents. This was not done. The SEC is supposed to study that. And what a fiduciary requirement means is that the financial professional has to act in the best interest of his or her client. I'm a certified financial planner. I'm under that requirement. But a lot of brokers are not, and insurance agents are not. That was not taken care of.
So we know that a new office is also going to be set up, the Federal Insurance Office and the Federal Financial Services Oversight Council. All sorts of different things are going to be set up because of this. But on the other end of it, what about feds who are looking to retire? Is there anything specific in there that they need to know, particularly when it comes to whether it's their TSP or just retirement in general?
You know, Amy, no. And, you know, I'm sorry to say that. But the truth of the matter is there wasn't a lot in there for individual investors. And for people getting a mortgage, yes. Otherwise, not much there. Now, the reason for that, I think one of the reasons for that is the 2008 financial crisis, you know, really wasn't caused by something to do with people saving for their retirement. But there are things they could have done, and, you know, the fiduciary standard for brokers and insurance agents was certainly one of them,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't done. It really cracked down hard on mortgages. You know, of course, it establishes this Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection, which is, you're going to have a huge budget, not as large as, say, the Food and Drug Administration, but getting close. And so maybe in the future that will make a difference. But no, it did not do a lot to protect individual investors.
We're speaking with Arthur Stein, certified financial planner with SPC Financial in Rockville, Maryland. And when you mentioned things like credit cards and the inability of retailers to offer a discount for cash and many of these other provisions, I'm trying to figure out what that has to do with the financial meltdown, which
probably
was the ostensible
not,
purpose
you know,
of this legislation.
You know, there's some strange, you know, it's like any bill. I mean, it's 2,300 pages. There's some strange stuff in there. For instance, it gives shareholders of public companies the right to vote on compensation for the company's executives, but it's a non-binding vote. The companies don't have to listen. You know, there are just a lot of things not done. I mean, you know, people, when they say, well, I'm grading at A, B, C, and D, I'd give it about a C plus in terms of the individual consumer, you know, individual consumers and investors. And
what about the tax provisions in there? Aren't there some kind of onerous tax changes that got shoved into that thing as well?
You know, there are some tax changes, but, you know, whether they're going to be onerous or not.
Well, I don't mean tax rates, but like reporting and rules for, like, for example, 1099s. Is that, or was that in the health care bill? I might be confusing my bills.
Yeah, I didn't see that in this bill.
Maybe that was the health care bill where you have to issue, as an individual, 1099s to every place you do business with.
Yeah, one of those bills does that. You know, I actually cannot, I'm like you, I can't remember if it was a health care bill or not. But, you know, I mean, that's not consumer protection. That's protecting the IRS from people not paying their bills.
Well, getting back to the main bill that we do know something about, is there any source of information that's impartial but also concise about all the provisions in this bill that you're aware of? Because I haven't been able to find anything that really explains all of it in all of its 2,300 pages of ramifications.
Yeah, and I don't think we're going to find that because, you know, I mean, it's a 2,300-page bill. And, of course, a lot of the bill deals with things like, you know, systemic risk and too big to fail that the, you know, consumer does not get into. You know, it creates an office of financial literacy to educate people from becoming victims of financial abuse. But, you know, that's going to take a long time to have an effect, if any. And, you know, people can get on the Internet. There's a wealth of information. But it basically says, you know, what I've just said as far as individual consumers are concerned, that's about it.
How much breathing room do we get before everything goes into effect and people need to be ready for these changes?
Well, the changes I've mentioned, happen right away. Like the, you know, raising the $250,000 limit on FDIC insurance, mm-hmm. That's like right now. The changes for the mortgage brokers, I think, happen right away, too. The agencies that are going to be established, you know, that's going to take a long time. I mean, you know that, you know, better than I do. I mean, it takes a long time to do these things in Washington.